are you talking about? He clenched his hand into a fist. Why did you come for me? He whispered, low enough that the others could not overhear. Who wants me and why? The Sheteth gave a rasping laugh.
I will tell you, but it will be so all your friends can hear, so they can know what kind of man you truly are.
It raised its voice, calling out the words.
Can you all hear me?
Caden moved without thinking. He drew back his hand, letting essence flow through him and into his fist. Then he drove it down into the Sheteth's disfigured face. There was a blinding light and a final scream from the creature. When Caden's vision cleared, all that remained was a pile of ash. He knelt there, silent and trembling for what seemed like ages. Finally, he felt a hand clasp him on the shoulder. He looked up to see Tayrus watching him, concerned.
Are you hurt?
The older man asked. Caden forced himself to stand, still trying to comprehend what had happened. He had killed the creature. Had it been the right thing to do? Would it have told the truth about who he was? And if it had, would he have liked what it said? He stared at the pile of ashes morosely. There could be no knowing now.
I'll survive, he said softly.
Weir came to stand next to him, looking at the ashes on the road in fascination. A gentle wind sprang up, scattering some of them to the grass on the roadside.
How did you do that, Caden? He asked. The shields you gave us. I've never seen anything like it. It wasn't essence.
Caden shook his head. Already the memory of how to use that power was hazy again, though he knew it would not fade entirely. There was something about essence, something about wielding it that seemed to stimulate his memories, bringing them to the fore. He still wasn't sure if that was a good thing or not, but it was valuable knowledge nonetheless.
I don't know, he admitted to Weir. I just reacted instinctively and they appeared.
Just in time, noted Tayrus.
He clapped Caden on the back.
You saved our lives, lad.
Caden forced a smile.
Perhaps it can go some way to paying you back for bringing the Sheteth down on you in the first place, he said wryly.
That's hardly your fault.
Caden started. It was Aelric who had spoken, still standing a little distance away, but looking at him with an expression of vague approval.
We owe you a debt, Caden.
Not knowing what to say, Caden gave Aelric an appreciative nod. The five of them stared at the remains of the Sheteth for a moment longer. Then Tayrus said,
We should get moving before those other travelers come back and start asking questions.
Caden glanced up. The road ahead was empty aside from scattered belongings and the four bodies a little further along. Everyone else had fled, running as hard as they could until they had lost sight of the road altogether. Still, many of them had left what were probably their only possessions behind. It would not be long before some of them began to venture back.
What about the bodies? Asked Weir. We can't just leave them.
Tayrus grimaced.
We have no choice. Those who come back will see they get a proper burial, I'm sure.
They began walking again, carefully navigating around the blood-soaked section of road where the corpses lay. After a few minutes, Tayrus matched his stride to Caden's.
So, it seems you're an augur too, he said, keeping his voice low. Weir was right. That wasn't essence you used to save us.
Caden didn't respond for a few seconds. He'd guessed as much, but at the moment it seemed like just one more thing to worry about.
It was instinct,
he eventually reiterated, not taking his eyes from the road ahead.
I don't know how I did it.
Tayrus grunted, looking dissatisfied, but seeing he was not going to get any further comment on the matter.
What did the Sheteth say to you, just before the end?
Caden shrugged.
It was spouting nonsense, nothing that made sense.
Tayrus raised an eyebrow.
Such as?
He scratched his beard.
It might be important.
Caden hesitated.
He had no intention of telling Tayrus what the Shateth was going to reveal. It said it had killed him. When I asked who it meant, it just acted disappointed that I didn't know. It was at least some of the truth, hopefully enough to satisfy Tayrus's curiosity. Tayrus thought for a moment.
Another mystery, he sighed eventually. He gave Caden a mock stern look. You really need to get your memories back, lad.
No argument here, Caden replied, doing his best to sound cheerful. They kept walking. In the distance, Fedris Idri was now clearly visible, and further along the road he could see more people heading towards them. A steady stream, in fact. They were almost to Ilin Ilan.
Chapter 37 Asha watched as Aaron shifted uncomfortably in front of her, clearly hesitant to proceed. The young man took a deep breath, exchanging worried glances with Alosian, Cole, and Fessy, who had gathered for the occasion and were looking on from the corner of the room. Then he turned back to Asha.
Are you sure you want to do this?
I'm sure,
Asha affirmed, though her stomach twisted as she said the words. In truth, the certainty she'd felt the previous day had faded.
Ashalia, interjected the Duke, his tone gentle. Do you really think Elder Tenvar lied to you?
He hesitated.
It's not that I don't believe you, but I wouldn't want to see you go through this for no reason.
Asha turned to him.
I need to know, she said simply.
Elosian inclined his head, and Cole and Fessy both gave her encouraging smiles, though the concern in their eyes was obvious. Aaron hadn't minced words when he'd explained the dangers of trying to restore her memory. In front of her, Aaron sighed.
Okay.
He paced back and forth for a couple of seconds, rubbing his hands together in a nervous motion.
Okay. Ready?
Asha nodded. Aaron stopped in front of her, leaned forward and pressed his fingertips against her temple. There was nothing for a few moments, and then the slightest pressure at the back of her skull, like the beginnings of a headache. The feeling began to build, gradually at first, but soon enough Asha's head was throbbing with it.
Aaron, she said uncertainly, I'm not sure if...
The pressure burst. A gentle warmth flooded through her head. It wasn't an unpleasant sensation, but it made her gasp, nonetheless. Her thoughts were suddenly scattered, jumbled. Aaron stepped back, lowering his hand. His eyes were full of horror.
Fates, I'm so sorry.
And then the memory came crashing back into her. There was pain behind Asha's eyes, but she forced them open anyway. She stared around, trying to get her bearings. What had happened? Jagged-edged images flashed through her mind, and she sat up sharply, heart pounding, panic threatening to take over. Someone had attacked the school. Everyone was dead.
Ashalia.
She turned to see a blond-haired administrator watching her with a worried expression. He looked familiar. She stared at his face for a few seconds in confusion.
Do you recognize me?
Asked the man, his tone gentle.
Yes, said Asha slowly.
Her memories began to order themselves and the fear subsided, faded into grief.
Duke Andras, Elosian.
Good.
Elosian looked relieved. He leaned forward, taking her hand and squeezing it.
We were worried.
We?
Asha looked around with some effort, but only she and the Duke were in the room. It was her sleeping quarters, she realized after a few seconds.
All of us. It's almost dawn. The others went to bed a few hours ago. You've been asleep for nearly a day.
Asha struggled up into a sitting position.
That long?
Elosian nodded. Then his expression sobered.
Aaron told us what happened, what you saw, before Tenvar made you a shadow.
He shook his head.
That note from Torin. I never knew about it. I suspect the Council didn't either.
Asha smiled as she remembered, Davian and I are leaving.
He's alive, she murmured, still barely daring to believe it.
Then her smile faded and a wave of fury washed through her as her thoughts cleared and she was able to analyze the new memories, come to grips with them.
What have you done about Elder Tenvar?
Elosian grimaced. We're watching him.
We need to lock him up.
She thought of everyone who had died at the school, of the bloodied corpses of her friends, and her expression hardened.
At the least.
I understand, but it's not that simple, Elosian cautioned her. Tenvar is gifted. There are rules that prevent us from simply marching into the toll and arresting him. Laws that I cannot break without undeniable airtight proof.
He gave Asha an apologetic look.
As long as he is inside the toll, he's under the Council's jurisdiction, and the gifted are the only ones who can bring him to trial and punish him. It's part of the treaty.
Asha stared at him in disbelief.
But he made me a shadow against my will. He lied about Davian. I remember. And Aaron saw too.
Which no one can know, Elosian pointed out gently. As for you remembering, how are you going to explain that to the Council? You can point the finger all you like, but unless they really believe you've got your memory back, all it will do is warn Tenvar that we know what he did.
He sighed.
Watching him, it's the best we can do for now. I promise you, as soon as we get the opportunity to do more, we will.
Asha shook her head, still trying to clear it. She should have realized that.
You seem very calm about all of this.
I've had the entire day to be angry, said Elosian. And believe me, I was.
He stood, putting his hand on her shoulder in a reassuring gesture.
If you're feeling okay, I should get the others. They will want to know you're awake.
Asha nodded, lying back down and staring at the roof as Elosian left, trying to sort through her churning emotions. Grief and horror at what had happened. Fury at Tenvar. Fear, knowing what he was capable of. She took a few deep, steadying breaths as she mulled over what Elosian had said about the gifted, about Tenvar's immunity so long as he was inside the toll. A plan began to form. Just an idea at first, but fully fledged by the time Elosian returned with the augurs. After receiving delighted hugs from the others, particularly from Aaron, whose relief was so evident it made her laugh, she turned to Elosian.
I think I have a way to solve our problem with Tenvar. To have him locked up, she announced.
Elosian frowned.
We can't risk an incident between the palace and Tol Athian. Not at the moment. Tensions are already high and rising as it is with my brother's recent outbursts against the gifted, he warned her.
It wouldn't involve you or anyone else here, Asha quickly assured him. If it fails, the worst that happens is that Tenvar knows I've remembered.
She outlined her idea, her four companions listening in attentive silence. There was a pause once she'd finished as everyone considered what she'd proposed.
It's still a risk for you, though,
noted Aaron eventually, his tone uneasy.
There's no telling what Tenvar's reaction will be. I can handle it, Asha told Aaron, locking eyes with him.
After a moment, Aaron nodded his acceptance and the other augurs soon followed suit. They were concerned for her, but none of them was going to try and convince her out of it. For that, she was grateful. Elosian hesitated for a second longer, then inclined his head too.
So you'll need a meeting with Counselor Ilanar and access to the storeroom in the old section, he observed.
That should do it.
Elosian nodded, more to himself than to Asha.
I'll see what I can do, he said quietly.
Asha threw open the door to Ilseth's study as hard as she could, the resultant crash echoing down the hallway. Ilseth jumped up, eyes wide for a moment. Then, seeing who it was, he sank back into his chair again, trying his best to look unconcerned.
How can I help you, Ashalia? He asked with cool politeness. You really should be more gentle with the door.
Asha paused for a long moment. Then she turned and closed the door carefully, taking a key from her pocket and with a quick twist, locking it. Ilseth frowned.
Where did you get that?
It doesn't matter.
Asha slipped the key back into her pocket.
I suppose it doesn't, said Ilseth, looking more amused than concerned. What would you like to say to me?
Asha stared at him.
I want you to know that I remember.
Remember what?
Everything.
Asha swallowed a lump in her throat.
I know Davian was missing, not dead. I know you made me a shadow against my will. I know you had something to do with what happened in Kaladel.
She clenched her fists, trying to contain her anger.
And now you're going to tell me exactly what?
Ilseth just smiled a pleasant, nonchalant smile, though his eyes betrayed a sliver of shock.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He sighed.
Perhaps you're confused. I know shadows have very vivid dreams about their past sometimes. Don't patronize me. I'm going to get your confession.
Ilseth smirked.
How? Force?
He chuckled.
Eshalia, you may be safe from essence thanks to the tenants, but don't for a second think you can overpower me.
Asha reached into her pocket and drew out a small black disc, holding it between her forefinger and thumb for Ilseth to see.
Familiar?
Ilseth's smile slipped, though he still didn't look concerned.
You're a shadow, Eshalia, in case you've forgotten, he said, his tone verging on mocking. You can't use that. But I don't need to use it.
Ilseth was wrong about her ability to activate the vessel, but she didn't need him to know that right now.
I just need it to make contact with your neck. Or have you forgotten how it paralyzes? I certainly haven't.
She stared confidently at him.
One touch, and you won't be able to move, and I'll be able to do whatever I like to you. You can feel everything, you know. See everything. Hear everything. But you can't make a sound.
She gave him a cold smile.
We could be here for hours, and no one would know.
There was a long silence.
You don't have it in you, said Ilseth eventually. There was a time I didn't, admitted Asha.
She gestured to her face.
Before you did this to me.
She took a step forward. Ilseth scrambled up from his desk, scowling at her.
Why even bother? This section of the toll has no remembering, child. Even if I said what you wanted to hear, no one else would believe you. You'll be thrown in prison. If you leave now, though, I won't chase you. I swear it.
Asha laughed in his face.
You swear it? That's reassuring.
She took another step forward. Ilseth took a corresponding step back, looking concerned now, even though the desk was still between them. For a few seconds, Ilseth contemplated the locked door. Realizing that there was no way to safely slip past Asha and the black disc, he dropped all pretense of calm.
You're a stupid little girl, he spat furiously. You were supposed to die with all the others. And you will die now, I promise you. But it won't be quick like them. I'm going to give you over to the Venerate. Do you know what they will do to you? You'll beg for death.
Asha took another step forward, reaching the desk.
Where are Davian and Weir? She asked, steel in her voice. I wouldn't tell you even if I knew, snarled Ilseth, tensing himself to spring at her.
Then suddenly he was flying backwards, as if an unseen hand had gripped him and slammed him against the wall. He shouted in alarm, struggling against invisible restraints and staring at Asha in wild-eyed disbelief.
It's not possible, he gasped. You can't be... Enough.
Ilseth's head snapped around at the voice from the other side of the room, though Asha didn't take her eyes from his panicked features. From the corner of her vision, she could see Elder Ilanar appear as he removed the veil.
He knows more than he's saying, said Asha, tone cold, still not looking around. No doubt, said Nashrel wearily. But he's said enough to damn himself, and this need not get dangerous. We'll get the rest from him. Don't worry about that.
He stared at Ilseth with a mixture of sadness and disgust.
I defended you when Eshalia made her accusations.
Ilseth looked as though he were about to protest his innocence, then, seeing the expression on Nashrell's face, spat in his direction instead.
"You are a fool, Nashrell," he said, making another furious attempt to free his hands. "And you have no chance of getting information from me. You should have let the girl torture me."
He gave Asha a leering smile. Asha stepped forward and pressed the black disc against Ilseth's neck. The elder's face and body immediately went still.
"What are you doing, Ashalia?"
Nashrell asked. His tone was curious rather than worried. Only Ilseth's eyes seemed to be alive now, rolling between her and Nashrell as they spoke. Nashrell didn't know. All she had to do was to place a finger against that disc, let it tap her reserve, and Ilseth would suffer the same fate as he had given her. She raised her hand, and then let it fall again.
"It was the only way to improve his company," she said, taking her eyes from Ilseth's face for the first time since she'd entered.
She glanced across at Nashrell.
"You'll send word to the palace of any information you get, as we agreed?"
"Of course."
Nashrell watched Ilseth with a thoughtful expression.
"This will stay between you, me, and a few select elders I know I can trust. But if we have word of your friends, we will tell you immediately."
"Thank you, Elder Eilinar."
She looked at Ilseth again, pinned helplessly to the wall. Suddenly feeling sick, she turned and left the room. She did not look back. Chapter 38. Davian cracked his knuckles, giving Malshash a confident grin.
"I'm ready."
Malshash smiled, shaking his head.
"You've spent half your life trying to use essence. What makes you so sure you can do it now?"
Davian shrugged.
"That wasn't really my fault. I was being taught to look for it in the wrong place," he pointed out. "At the school, I was always told that the only way to access essence was to tap into my reserve, the internal pool of essence that every gifted's body produces. But I'm not gifted. I don't even have a reserve. As an augur, I needed to be extracting it from the world around me instead."
Malshash inclined his head.
"True enough. But knowing that isn't even half the battle. You still need to learn to control essence, to harness it properly. Remember, it's an energy, active, a force in and of itself. Nothing like Khan."
Davian smiled.
"I've probably studied more about the nature of essence and how to use it than any gifted my age," he said wryly. "I've always felt that if I could just access it, I could use it as well as anyone."
Malshash grinned.
"Very well. This is the final skill I can teach you, so let's see whether your abilities are a match for your confidence."
Davian took a deep breath and reached out, feeling the Khan all around him, permeating everything. It had been almost indistinguishable at first, but now, only a couple of weeks into his training, he could touch it, grasp it almost without needing to think. Malshash never said so, but Davian could see the look in his eyes after he'd picked up the basics of a new skill in an afternoon, an hour. He was good at this, very good. It came to him as naturally as breathing. He concentrated, extending his senses using Khan, looking for the telltale glow of essence. Malshash pulsed with it, but he knew better than to try and extract any from him. Davian would likely just end up hurting his teacher by accident. He focused harder. A little way down the road, he caught the faintest glimpse of a glow through the mists, which seemed especially heavy today. He moved forward, concentrating on the luminescence. Slowly, the haze around the light thinned, revealing a tall oak tree. Its glow was far from bright, but it definitely had essence running through it. Davian reached out. Something blocked him. He pushed against it, gently at first, but with increasing frustration. There was a space of a few meters around the tree that he could not seem to enter with his Khan-enhanced senses. He scowled, opening his eyes.
"I can see the essence flowing through the tree," he said in irritation, "but I can't get to it."
Malshash crossed his arms, a smile threatening to creep onto his face.
"But you were so confident a moment ago."
Davian made a face at him. Fine. I don't know everything yet, he said in as humble a voice as he could muster. What am I doing wrong? Malshash raised an eyebrow.
You didn't wonder how there are trees growing here, healthy and well-maintained?
Davian looked again. Sure enough, the oak trees lining the street were neatly trimmed. They were clearly set there as part of the city planning. He frowned.
You're right. They should all be dead, surely?
Malshash shrugged.
They're like the books in the library, preserved in their original state.
He gestured around.
This place was built to absorb small amounts of essence from almost everything except the human body, then channel it to the Javette. Because of that, there were a few things the Dorisians had to shield against Khan. If they hadn't, I doubt the trees would have grown here in the first place, let alone survived unchanged for a couple of thousand years.
He slapped Davian on the back.
Anyway, all you need to do is go up to one and touch it. That will put you inside the shield, and you won't be blocked.
Davian rolled his eyes. So I wasn't doing anything wrong after all? Malshash grinned.
Not as such, I suppose.
Davian began walking towards the nearest tree, but then hesitated, turning back.
How am I still alive? He asked quietly. I thought you said I had to get essence from outside my body to live.
Malshash was silent for a moment.
You're getting it sporadically, from what I can tell, he admitted. I've tried to see on a few different occasions, but the lines of essence are so fine, so thin, that even I have a hard time making them out. And I actually know what to look for, so that is quite an accomplishment.
He sighed.
I'd rather hoped you wouldn't wonder too much about this. You draw some from the fire each night and each morning. The library is shielded from the rest of the city. When you're in there, you draw it from the advisor, I think.
He paused.
Occasionally, when you run low, you draw some from me.
Davian stopped mid-step. From you? It obviously hadn't hurt Malshash, but the thought of stealing someone else's essence, their life force, made his skin crawl. Malshash made a reassuring gesture.
Tiny amounts, he said. And you've needed it to help you concentrate.
Davian blinked. Now that he thought about it, he'd barely slept these past couple of weeks. An hour or two each day, perhaps? How was that possible? His brow furrowed. Why had that not occurred to him before as being odd? He sighed, focusing again on their topic of conversation.
But if I were alone, without a fire, on these streets for long enough?
Malshash shrugged.
I don't know for sure. My recommendation is to not put yourself in a situation where you find out.
Davian grunted.
Good advice, he said. His enthusiasm dampened as the reality of the dangers he faced struck home once again.
Malshash had been pushing him harder and harder these past few days. Though he'd said nothing, Davian knew the time must be approaching when he had to return, go back through the gray void. He twisted the ring on his finger nervously. Despite Malshash's apparent confidence in Davian's abilities, he'd pulled no punches when it came to the perils of the rift. Davian shook his head, clearing it again before striding up to the tree he had been looking at before, placing his hand against the rough, dry bark. He closed his eyes. He could feel the essence now, pulsing and vibrant within the tree. He carefully drew Khan around it. It was different to the Khan he normally used. That would have engulfed the essence in a moment, extinguishing it completely. Instead, he positioned the Khan and then hardened it, for want of a better word. Partly it was how Malshash had described it, but partly it was what felt natural. It was this new form of Khan that he used to draw the essence towards his body. Nothing happened at first. Then the glowing stream slowly poured towards him, into his hand and up his arm, into his chest. He felt warmth and life flow through him, intense and beautiful. He opened his eyes to see his hand glowing with raw energy. He spun and flung the essence at a nearby wall. It didn't have the effect he'd hoped. Rather than the wall exploding into pieces, the bolt of energy simply rippled and vanished, absorbed into the air. Of course, Malshash had just been telling him how the entire city was an enormous conduit for essence. He should have tried something else. His body still buzzing, he stepped away from the tree, examining it in fascination. The leaves, which had been a bright green against the dull grays of Dilanus only moments ago, were now shriveled and black. The trunk and branches, too, looked as though they had been wasting away for years. He gave the withered trunk a gentle tap, then leapt away as the entire tree collapsed in a puff of black dust. He coughed furiously, trying to get the taste of dead wood from his mouth and lungs. "What happened?" he asked.
"You took the life force from the tree," Malshash replied, his gaze fixed on where the oak had once stood.
Now there was only a pile of ash-like grit littering the stone. He shook his head, looking disturbed.
"You took all of it, Davian."
Davian finally managed to clear his throat.
"Is that good?"
"It depends on how you look at it, I suppose," said Malshash, sounding reluctant.
"It's certainly unusual. I've seen it done before, but only in times of great need, great stress. And it was certainly not good then."
He grimaced.
"Regardless, it seems like that lesson went rather smoothly. Away from Dilanus, I have no doubt you will be able to draw large amounts of essence, should the need arise."
Davian grinned.
"Definitely good then."
Malshash held up a cautioning hand.
"You must be very, very careful with this ability, Davian," he said softly. "What you did to that tree, you could just as easily do that to a person. Accidentally, if you are not careful."
Davian looked back on the pile of black dust and paled.
"It could kill them?"
Malshash nodded.
"Your body is used to drawing on anything it can to survive. I can only assume that's why you're able to take so much. But if you drained a human being like that, well, essence is their life force. Remove it completely, and I think you can guess the consequences."
Davian nodded.
"I'll be careful," he promised.
He gave Malshash a cautious look.
"Aside from that," Malshash laughed, "it was very impressive, Davian. The bolt you threw looked like it would have blown the wall apart if we were anywhere else."
"It was less spectacular than I'd hoped," admitted Davian. "If only it were..." He cut off with a grunt as pain flooded through his stomach and every limb went suddenly weak. He collapsed to the ground with a moan, clutching at his belly. It felt empty, painfully so. He was so hungry. Malshash rushed forward, dropping to his knees beside him. Without a word, he drew an apple from his pocket. Davian took it and devoured it. As he ate, the pain lessened, and soon he was able to sit up straight again.
"What was that?" he asked, dazed.
Malshash rubbed his hands together nervously.
"Your bond here is weakening, Davian. It has lasted much longer than I would have thought possible. But it's finally happening. Our time together is drawing to a close."
Davian took a couple of deep, steadying breaths.
"Now?"
"No,"
Malshash shook his head.
"We still have a few hours. I think waiting until this evening would be best, maybe even tomorrow morning unless these attacks start increasing. That at least gives us the opportunity to run through a couple of more exercises, get you as prepared as we can."
Davian stared at the apple core in his hand.
"How did you know I would need this?"
Malshash sighed.
"Remember what I said about a shadow of a shadow of your body remaining in your own time? It's still a physical presence, Davian, and it's had neither food nor water in the last couple of weeks."
"So I'm dying in my time?" Malshash ran his fingers through his hair.
It's all just theory, but I suspect so. Your body there won't need sustaining like a normal person's would, but eventually it is going to need nourishment.
So that's why I've been so hungry, muttered Davian. He scowled.
You leave this until now to tell me?
I didn't think you needed the added pressure.
Davian just grunted in no mood to argue.
So, what now?
What you just felt was a stronger connection with your body in your own time. The rift is trying to correct the anomaly of your being here. It's trying to send you back, said Malshash.
He sighed.
All we can do is break your binding to my time. Choose when to begin the process.
By destroying this, said Davian, holding up his hand to display the ring.
Exactly, said Malshash.
He gave Davian a considering look.
I think we should practice your reading one more time. It's probably the best exercise for mental focus, and you'll need all you can get once you're in the rift.
Davian hesitated.
What about control?
He'd been wondering whether Malshash would teach him that ever since he'd read about the ability. He'd been stunned to learn it truly existed. There had always been rumors of the augurs being able to manipulate other people's thoughts, but nobody had ever really believed them. Even back when the augurs still ruled, he knew that people had been skeptical such a power existed. Malshash shook his head.
No. Control is like shape-shifting. Ill-advised and very dangerous.
He looked Davian in the eye.
This time, you need to trust me. Don't try it.
Davian gave a noncommittal shrug. Very well. Reading it is, he said, trying to keep the disappointment out of his tone. He took some deep breaths, calming his mind.
I'm ready. What am I looking for?
Malshash shrugged.
I've left a few things open this time. See what you can find.
Davian nodded. He closed his eyes, pushing through the con until he was inside Malshash's mind. He still hadn't quite grown used to the feeling. He knew who he was, knew all his own thoughts, but if he tried to think of something, anything really, it would be Malshash's mind to respond, not his own. And Davian could then examine that response with his own mind. He composed himself for a second, then began searching through Malshash's thoughts and memories. Most were still hidden within the locked box, he soon discovered. The ones that were not fairly dull and all recent. What Malshash had had for his meals the last few days. How amazed he was at how quickly Davian had picked up Khan. His sense of urgency to get Davian back to his own time, to keep him alive. There were other feelings associated with that. Sorrow, pain, that Davian did not understand, could not access the exact memories to explain. When you knew what to look for, emotions were much harder to hide than specific recollections of events. He thought to find out where Malshash had lived before he came to Dylanus. He was confronted with the locked box again. He wondered where Malshash had received his augur training. The locked box. He wondered why Malshash had been so upset to discover Davian could shapeshift. The locked box. Davian felt his frustration turn to anger. What was the point of this ability if people could just hide things so easily? He wondered why Malshash had given up his ability to see the locked box. Rather than move on, Davian imagined himself directly in front of the box. He concentrated, gripping the lid with his hands and pulling. The lid came open, and he heard a gasp of horror from Malshash. He was in a large, long room, filled with table upon table of people talking and laughing, all dressed in fine suits and elegant gowns. He felt his heart swelling as he gazed out across the crowd from his position, his own table slightly raised above everyone else's. So many people, his friends and family, come to celebrate with him. A feeling of pleasant warmth flooded through him. Not just the fine wine they had been drinking. This was happiness. Detached, Davian forced himself to stay alert. He knew this feeling. He was reliving the memory, unable to alter it in any way, but experiencing it exactly as Malshash had.
He knew he'd somehow broken into Malshash's locked box, knew this memory was supposed to be personal, but had no idea how to stop it now. He glanced to his left, and his breath caught in his throat. The most beautiful woman he had ever seen sat alongside him. Her long black hair was straight and gleamed in the light of the lanterns. She was slim, with an oval face, large blue eyes, and a delicate mouth. Her full lips curled upward slightly as she saw him watching her, and she leaned towards him.
"See anything you like?"
Davian felt himself grin in return.
"I think you know the answer to that." He looked around. "Is it wrong to wish your own wedding were over?"
he whispered conspiratorially. The woman, Eliavia was her name, Davian suddenly knew, leaned forward and gave him a long, passionate kiss. In the background, he could hear a few people starting to hoot and whistle.
"Not at all, husband," she whispered back.
Davian sat back, trying to drink it all in. This was the moment. It was perfect. Better than he could have imagined, than he could have hoped for. He looked again at Eliavia. She was amazing. He knew, perhaps more deeply than he'd known anything before, that he didn't deserve her. No one deserved her. Perhaps that was where he'd been so lucky. He'd been the closest thing she'd found to a good match. A servant came and touched Elle lightly on the shoulder, whispering something in her ear. She nodded, then leaned towards him again, her lips tickling his ear, she was so close.
"I will be back in a moment, my love," she said, her eyes shining as she looked at him.
He squeezed her hand.
"I'll be waiting."
He watched her slip away after the servant, so beautiful in her white wedding dress. Once she was through the door, he returned his attention to the festivities, nodding politely as people came past his table offering their congratulations. His face hurt. It actually hurt from the effort of smiling so much. But he didn't mind in the slightest. He was not by nature a man who found happiness easily. But tonight, most certainly qualified. A half hour passed. He found himself glancing towards the door his wife had disappeared through, expecting to see her reappear at any moment. It remained closed, though. He scanned the crowd, but the servant who had come to fetch her was nowhere to be seen either. Finally, he called over another weary-looking young man who was serving drinks. "Excuse me," he said, "but have you seen my wife?" The boy stared at him for a moment to see whether he was joking, then glanced around the room as if expecting to see Eliavia standing somewhere obvious. Finally, he shook his head.
"I'm sorry, Lord Deshrel. I haven't."
Davian felt himself frowning and sighed in vague exasperation. It seemed he would need to find her himself. He rose, navigating through the jumble of chairs that had been abandoned mid-aisle, then slipped through the door Elle had gone through. There was a short passage lit by a single torch, and then another door that opened into the castle courtyard. He felt his frown deepen. He didn't know Cair Liordis well, hadn't realized this door led outside. Why would Elle have needed to come out here? The courtyard was lit, but it was a gusty night and some of the torches had guttered out. This area was unattended, as most of the guardsmen tonight were focused around the feast. Davian found himself meandering aimlessly, a little lightheaded from the wine, around the side of the castle. Then he spotted it. It was just a flash, a glimpse of white against the dirty black of a ditch. Uncomprehending, he wandered over, peering into the gloom. The cry was out of his throat before he realized what was happening. He was in the dirt, the cold mud, screaming for help, cradling Elle's bloodied head in his lap. Her eyes stared sightlessly up at him, the jagged gash along her throat still leaking dark red fluid. Her dress was muddied everywhere, and torn in such a way that he did not want to think about what else may have happened to her. Even as he wept, he carefully, tenderly, made her private again. There were shouts behind him as people ran to answer his screams. He heard gasps of horror as the first to arrive took in the scene, but he didn't turn, couldn't take his eyes from Elle. He rocked her back and forth gently, sobs ripping from his throat, tears spilling onto her beautiful, cold face. No, it couldn't be this way. He would not let it be this way. He delved into his reserve, drawing deeply, more deeply than he ever had before. All of it, in fact. He closed his eyes, putting his hands against Elle's clammy skin and letting his essence flow into her. He could feel the wound on her neck close, the bruises she had sustained all over her body fade away. He pushed more, willing her heart to begin beating again, willing her life to return. He drained himself, past the levels he knew to be dangerous. He could take it. But when he opened his eyes, Elle still lay there, staring up at the murky sky. Her chest was still, her skin cold. He didn't know how much time had passed when he felt the hand on his shoulder. It was Ilrin, his teacher from the academy.
"Who did this?"
Ilrin asked, his voice shaking. His eyes held horror, anger, pain, sorrow. Elle had been his student, too. Davian found himself looking around. His gaze fell on a young man. It took him a moment to place him, but when he did, his grief flashed into white-hot fury. It was the servant who had led her out here, led her to her death. He was on his feet in an instant. Moving faster than he would have believed possible, he slipped through the steadily growing crowd until he had both hands around the young man's throat.
"Tell me what happened," he growled.
He barely recognized his own voice. It was animal, feral. The blood had drained from the boy's face.
"It was the priest," he managed to choke out. "The one who married you. He asked me to fetch your wife out here."
Davian looked at the young man and felt only rage. He had drawn Elle out to her death. He was a part of it. His reserve was already refilling. He let essence infuse his arm, giving it the strength of 10 men, and then twisted. The servant's neck snapped like a twig. A low moan went up from the stunned onlookers. Davian felt himself whirl, scanning the crowd. The priest, a holy man, supposedly. He had done this. People leapt from his path. A few of his friends called out to him, pleaded with him to stop, but none moved to get in his way. They knew better. They could all try to stop him, and it would be meaningless, nothing to him. He would brush them aside like flies. He would find the priest and kill him, slowly and painfully. It didn't take him long. He sent his vision high above the castle, scanning the surrounding lands. Almost immediately he spotted the lone figure scrambling along the north road, slipping on loose shale as it hurried down the steep hillside. The plain brown robe was obvious even from this distance, even in the gloom. He moved faster than he had ever moved before, and yet somehow with a cold deliberateness, a calm that belied the raging fire inside him. He walked, but those around him stood like statues. The wind seemed to slow so that he could barely feel it, and even the fire of the torches moved sluggishly. He took one off its bracket as he passed, leaving the castle and streaking northward. Somehow he knew that anyone watching would see only a blur of orange light, nothing more. He walked in front of the priest, setting his feet firmly in the portly man's path. Davian wanted to see his face. He wanted to see his expression when he realized he was going to die. The priest skidded to a stop when he saw Davian in front of him. His cheeks were flushed with exertion, but the rest of his skin was pale as a ghost. His expression was one of pure terror.
"Mercy,"
he muttered, falling over as he moved backward as quickly as he could. Even sitting down, he tried to scramble away, his eyes wild.
"Mercy, it was not me. I swear it by El, it was not me."
Davian took in the priest's muddied clothes. His arms were bare and he could see long scratches on them. Any semblance of calm evaporated. He reached out with essence, holding the terrified man down. Then he concentrated on the man's hands. The priest screamed as the little finger on his left hand snapped backward with a sharp crack. Davian released it and moved on to the next finger. Crack. The middle, the forefinger, the thumb. Then the other hand. Crack. Crack, crack. Davian barely knew what he was doing. All he wanted was for this man to feel the pain he was feeling now. to feel worse. Then he moved on. He broke every toe, the priest's screams intensifying until finally they died to almost a whimper. Davian frowned. That wouldn't do. The man had felt nothing yet. He concentrated. He fed essence into the priest, allowing the broken bones to mend themselves. He hadn't bothered to straighten them. Most healed at ghastly angles, deformed and likely still agonizing. Even so, the worst of the pain would be gone. He changed the flow of essence, pointed it at the man's blood, heated it, a little at first, then more, until he could feel it boiling. The priest screamed properly this time. Prolonged cries of pain, gut-wrenching screams of agony. Davian watched impassively, feeling nothing. Not satisfaction, not sorrow. This was not revenge. This was justice, plain and simple. Ensuring he still fed enough essence into the man to keep him conscious, he turned another sliver of energy into a razor, thin and sharp. With one flick of the wrist, he castrated him. The priest made no noise now, just lay there, back arched, spasming. His mind was trying desperately to shut down, but Davian concentrated, made sure it was aware of every moment of what was happening. Boiling blood spilled out into the dirt, hissing as it hit the cold ground. This was how he would die, bleeding out in slow agony. Davian made sure the man had absorbed enough essence to keep him conscious to the end, then leaned forward until the priest was focused on his face. "For El," he said softly. He turned and walked back up towards the castle. He'd come further than he'd realized. It was a good mile back to Caer Leordis from where he was. How had he come here so quickly? He tried to remember. Everything was a blur. Suddenly it came crashing in on him. What had happened? What he'd done? He dropped to his knees and vomited, retching until his stomach was empty. Once he was finished, he stood shakily and kept walking to the castle. In a distant kind of way, he knew he was in shock. A crowd of people were waiting for him outside the gates, but he pushed by them, barely even hearing their questions or meaningless offerings of sympathy. He moved straight past them back to where his wife's body lay. Someone had moved her from the gutter, laying her in the middle of the courtyard, her hands carefully folded over her breasts. Despite the position, she looked anything but peaceful. Her dress, torn and bloodied, told the true story. He stood over her, looking down vacantly. Inside, he felt nothing. An emptiness so profound that it made it difficult to breathe. It was all so meaningless. She was gone. Gone in a moment, and suddenly nothing that was to come mattered anymore.
"No,"
the word came from his throat unbidden. He knelt, cupping her cheek with his hand.
"No."
He reached deep inside, drawing once again on essence. Despite all his efforts tonight, his reserve was nearly full again. But he knew somehow instinctively that even with all his powers, he could never generate enough essence to bring her back. He needed more. So much more. He reached out. He could feel the essence all around him, everywhere in the castle and its surrounds. The trees and grass, the torches on the walls. The people. There was no time to think. Every second he delayed made it harder to bring her back. He drew in essence, then let it flow into well. Her entire body glowed with the soft yellow light, but it wasn't nearly enough. As his reserve came close to dry, he started pulling essence from around him. Vaguely, he could sense the grass withering. In the distance, over the wind, he could hear trees collapsing to the ground. The torches winked out around the castle one by one. It was still not enough. There was a scream from somewhere in the castle as the first person fell dead, drained of their essence. Screams started up elsewhere, but they were cut off as Davian snatched away their life force, taking it into himself and then letting it flow into El. In his mind, the area became darker and darker until there was no essence left. No life. Nothing but him.
He'd drained his reserve long ago, but he knew there was more. He was so close. He could almost see her breathing again, could almost see a tinge of red returning to her smooth cheeks. He tapped into his own essence, the force that was sustaining his body. All he had left. He felt his limbs growing numb. His hand slipped from Elle's cheek, the link finally broken. Had it worked? He strained to see her face, her chest, anything that might indicate if she were alive. But he was so tired. He closed his eyes. When he opened them again, he was back in Dylanis opposite Malshash. He stood there for a long moment, aghast, unsure what to say. Malshash wore a similar expression, though his was mixed with something that sent a shiver of fear through Davian. White-hot anger. Davian blinked, suddenly making a connection. Malshash's form today was familiar. The man from the wedding, the one who had tried to comfort him. Ilrin. It took him only a moment longer to make other connections. None he could put names to, but many he remembered clearly. All of them men whose form, at one time or another over the last couple of weeks, Malshash had chosen to take. Malshash just stood for a few more moments, staring at Davian, panting as if he had been running a race.
"Prepare yourself, Davian," he snarled eventually. "You leave this place today."
He spun without another word, stalking off down the road and into the mists. Chapter 39. Davian bit at his fingernails. He sat on the steps at the entrance to the Javette. He assumed this was where Malshash would find him, though the shapeshifter hadn't said so explicitly. Several times in the last couple of hours he'd considered going to search him out, but each time he thought of it, he remembered the expression on his teacher's face. Davian shivered again at the memory of what he'd seen. Not just seen, experienced. Davian had lived Malshash's grief, lived his rage. The emotions had been more powerful, more raw than anything he'd ever felt. He knew that what Malshash had done was horribly, horribly wrong. Yet he had been Malshash, felt the irresistible need to mete out justice, to try everything, anything, to bring back his wife. It made him sick to his stomach every time he thought of it, and yet somehow he also understood. He suspected he now knew Malshash's reason for being in Dylanis, too. The shapeshifter had been trying to do exactly what Davian had done and travel to the past, except Malshash had thought to change his past, and Davian's arrival had apparently proven that he could not. Though it was hardly his fault, Davian felt a sliver of guilt for denying Malshash that hope. After a few more minutes, a figure emerged from the mists, trudging down the road towards him. Davian stood as Malshash approached. The shapeshifter still wore the same face, but somehow looked as if he had aged terribly. His gait was unsteady, weary, his expression sad rather than angry. Malshash stopped a little distance away from Davian, unable to meet his gaze, preferring instead to stare at the ground.
"So, now you know," he said. "I am sorry you had to see that."
Davian blinked. He had expected a tongue-lashing at best.
"I'm sorry I pried where I had no right," he said, genuine remorse in his tone.
Malshash barked a short laugh. Then he shook his head, sighing. Any trace of amusement vanished.
"I should probably say the same thing."
He walked up to Davian, and before Davian could react, Malshash's hand was on his forehead. He gasped as a cold sensation washed through him, sharp but brief. When Malshash removed his hand, the world suddenly seemed both clearer and duller.
"What did you do?"
Davian demanded.
"I removed my influence from your mind," said Malshash, sounding tired.
Davian gaped at him.
"You've been controlling me?"
He took a step forward angrily.
"All this time?" "No,"
Malshash looked guilty, but his tone was firm.
Not controlling. Influencing, feeding, focusing.
He gave a small smile.
Your mind is exceptional, Davian, have no doubt about that. But no one can learn what you have learnt in a couple of weeks. Not without help.
Davian opened his mouth to protest, but was suddenly struck by just how hard he'd been studying and practicing. He had been sleeping 1, maybe 2 hours a day and hadn't questioned it. The oddity of it hit him. He knew that it had before, too, remembered thinking it curious before now. But somehow, he'd never been motivated to follow up on the thought.
You've been keeping me awake.
Alert, he said, some of his initial anger dissipating. Malshash shrugged.
That and keeping you focused on the task at hand. A little too focused, apparently.
He shook his head, chagrined.
You have 100 different questions about the things I know. Some of them I wouldn't answer, the rest I couldn't, and none of that was going to be conducive to your studies. With the time we had, Davian, you couldn't just get no answers. You had to forget there were questions.
He screwed up his face.
I truly am sorry, but you needed to be ready. If I hadn't done this, you wouldn't have had a chance of surviving the trip back through the rift.
Davian clenched his fists. Some of those questions were already coming back to him, and he didn't know which ones to ask first.
At least tell me one thing.
Malshash gave him a wary look.
It depends on the question, he warned.
You said that you stole your shape-shifting ability from the Ath. That you gave up your ability to see.
He gestured in confusion.
I've read nothing like that anywhere in the library. I've never heard of it even being possible. These abilities are all just applications of Khan, aren't they? If you can do one, why not another?
Malshash rubbed his chin.
That is too complicated a question to answer properly right now, he said. The short version is it's just a very complex use of control. I'm linked to the part of the Ath's mind that understands shape-shifting. Not the theoretical knowledge, but what you would call the talent. Her unique mixture of instinct and experience. When I shape-shift, I use both her talent and my own. When she tries to shape-shift, she hits a kind of mental barrier. As long as I hold the link, it's like at a very deep level she just can't grasp how to do it.
Davian gave a thoughtful nod, accepting the explanation.
And when you gave up foresight?
It was the same, admitted Malshash. I could try to see right now, but it simply wouldn't work. Any natural sense I have for it is completely blocked.
But why? Why give away your ability? He frowned. And to whom?
Malshash sighed.
I gave it away because of what you saw before, he said quietly. Seeing can work in both directions, forwards and backwards. Not many people know that. Most people with the talent are naturally focused on what is to come.